What's going on, everyone? It's been way too long. I want to firmly apologize to all of our fans that have been listening to us and wanting us to get episodes back out. We've had a lot going on in our lives. Galano got married. Mike is on the way to getting married. Rocco moved to San Francisco. So we've had a lot of things changing in our lives, jobs, just life developments. We're now all that stuff is out of the way. We can now get back to what we do, what we love the most besides our careers is doing this. And we love giving you guys the content that you guys always crave for, even if you have a cousin that makes you listen to it or whatever. Again, we really do apologize for missing out on so much, but we're back now. We're going to try to be more consistent with it. We've changed a few things. We've added a little thing here and there, but really excited to be back. I have Mike on with me and Galano. So very excited to do our little Serie A preseason ahead of the season commencing next week. We have a few little fun little tidbits that we want to share with you guys. So we're just getting right to it. Galano, if you want to have anything else you want to say, we can kick it off right now.
No, I missed everybody. This has been so long. Like I didn't even get a congratulations on Inter winning last year. Nothing.
You, radio you root for Milan. You don't root for Inter.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm wiping my tears away from being a Milan fan.
Yeah, I think you bought the new kits this year, right? I think you got one of each.
I love Rossonero. Ain't that right, Mike?
The lack of a victory lap may have been intentional.
Mike, do you have anything you want to share with everyone before we get fully started?
Yeah, to be clear as to what Marco said, this is my career. I'm a full-time podcaster, so I've just been on a leave of absence for a while. But no, it's good to be back. I'm looking forward to the start of the season next week.
Yeah, and you know, with the season starting, obviously one of the big topics going in after the Olympics, after the Euro, after all the chaos that happened this summer, we got to talk about the transfers. You know, there's been some activity with the big teams and the smaller teams kind of sort of reshuffling, but you know, because Inter are the champions, I want to go with Galano first and talk about what he's thought of as a transfer window as a whole, and then also specifically Inter's transfer window, what you thought of it.
Yeah, I just want to first off, like, you know, I'm proud of Mike for coming on this podcast and being so strong and supportive. I know, you know, Milan selling CDK full-time to Atalanta is a tough pill to swallow, but he's here and I'm proud. But I just wanted to get that out of the way and just make sure he's appreciated on this podcast.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
In terms of Inter's business, to be honest, it's been kind of just reinforcement at this point. I think they're more focused on, they have a winning side. They proved it last year. Mm-hmm. Their big priority was to reinforce positions that they felt that they were lacking. A backup striker in Taremi is great. I think that's something that they needed. I think Zielinski, to be honest, I think it's ironic that he's actually come in to probably replace Mkhitaryan, but that transfer reminds me a lot of the Mkhitaryan transfer where you don't really know. It's a very like under the radar great signing. I think he brings the level of technical ability that fits Inzaghi's system. I think Fratesi's a great box-to-box player, but lacks in technical quality, and I think Zielinski provides that in spades. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll be motivated to win again. So there's those two. I wish they reinforced the back line. I think they are aging back there. I would like someone to come in and be and kind of be an option for them there. But they're deep. They're deep. I think they're in, you know, barring any surprises in the window, I think they're the favorites again. Mm-hmm. And I do like what they did at the goalkeeper position, bringing him a backup to Somer.
A younger backup.
I think he's like 24, 25, but nonetheless.
Yeah, that's like a spring chicken.
Plays the ball with his feet, fits the Inzaghi system, and he's definitely an upgrade on Aldero. So I think generally speaking, Inter should be looked at the favorites. They'll probably find a way to mess it up, but you know, this is kind of just a reassuring your lines, getting your backups in. But the biggest drama is definitely the management change. I mean, what people forget is that the Zhang family defaulted on the debt.
Yeah.
Oak Tree is now the owners through a change of control provision. And so we have kind of a new landscape, a new environment that Beppe Marotta and Alcidio are going to have to navigate. Their management, they're basically their superiors have changed overnight.
Yeah.
And now that is probably the most dramatic part about Inter right now, is seeing how they navigate those waters with the new management and what Oaktree's plans are. We know nothing of that of this team or what their intentions are, if they're trying to sell, manage. We don't know their time horizon. So it's a lot to keep. That's probably the most interesting part, and I'm okay with that. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but I'm optimistic.
Okay. No, I think you're right. I think you definitely reassuring their strengths. One thing that I kind of noted on when you mentioned the Zhang transition, essentially, like, obviously it was kind of a big news cycle when it happened, but since then it's kind of been like radio silent. It kind of seems like they're keeping things business as usual. It's just, it's not, you don't have like a Zhang mascot. It's like, we just have the Oaktree now are in charge.
I think because Oaktree was a lender for 3 years, it was only
kind of saw how, what worked and what didn't.
Exactly. They've been involved in meetings and such. I'm sure they have all their information, all their diligence and such. And I think, frankly, Inter probably operated under the guise that this would maybe eventually happen. And so
they weren't as caught off guard.
It wasn't caught off guard. Yeah. To be honest, it's as seamless as a change of control like that.
You've seen in Serie A.
Yeah. And I think that's a credit to Beppe Marotta and El CEO.
But it's also credit to Oaktree too, because Oaktree having the wherewithal to say, okay, these guys know what they're doing. They've got a success. They've gotten us into the other side of this debt where it's like we actually are becoming a little more profitable. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why would we mess up a good thing?
And the past like 2 to 3 years where we've had to sell a big player, it's nice to not have to deal with that this year.
Yeah.
It's like we can kind of go in with some continuum.
You don't want to sell Lautaro for $100 million? No. You've been on that train episodes of
this. We can go into the season with some continuity. So I'm That is in and of itself is a plus compared to prior summers.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair assessment of it. Now, to the red side of town, I want to go to our beloved Mike and how he thinks about the Milan. But also, if you want to start with Milan, then go to your beloved Eternal R as well to talk about their transfer window as well. You could feel free to do that as well.
Yeah. So I mean, it really gives you an idea of what kind of market. And, you know, just generally for Italy, but that it was news that Alvaro Morata came back. Mm-hmm. I am not entirely familiar with Pavlovich's game. It is a need. I think that was pretty glaring last year. I think like a lot of folks noticed that the back line that people thought was so strong, you know, a lot of the deficiencies of Tomori as a tactical defender really came through. I think that shoring that up definitely helps. It's supposed to be, you know, an improvement back there. It adds a little bit of depth as well. But, you know, I think the idea of a 31-year-old Alvaro Morata coming in, Euro champion Alvaro Morata, but...
Captain.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he knows how to win, but I just don't think that he's a player that pushes the needle much for Milan. I think that this is a team that had a lot of glaring issues last year, and, you know, they finished in second, but behind Inter by 19 points. And this is not a plus 19 transfer market. And like, who knows if Inter is going to be able to replicate what was really a historic year last year. But I think that the absolute best case scenario for Milan is to just hope to develop the players that they already had. So I don't really feel like the market was incredibly important. Fonseca coming in, you know, I suppose it's an improvement over Pioli. I think that, you know, folks that listen to this religiously, as we know that we have a very dedicated fan base, know that I was never the biggest Pioli fan. I'm curious to see how that will, you know, affect the team tactically. Fonseca has, of course, coached in Italy before, but it's a pretty different period. So I would say all things considered, like a pretty uneventful summer in Milan. It seems like they were more committed to marketing the team in New York and getting friendlies going on than they were to actually making splashes in the market. But that's just sort of where the game is right now in Italy. It feels, I think that kind of captures maybe the sentiment around the league, but, you know, I don't think that there's anything that would make me, as a Milan fan, have reason to expect that they can dethrone Inter here and go get their second star. I think that it's going to be much more of the same for Milan.
Yeah, I agree with that. for some reason, this Fonseca hire, it smells of the Rudy Garcia hire from Napoli last year. I think it's kind of either a level change, like not up, not down, just kind of status quo, just different tactics, or it's slightly below because has he been out of management for a few years, or was he managing in France? I think it was.
I agree with you. I, to be honest, I think both are good managers.
I don't think it's going to be as drastic.
I don't think there's going to be a change. To be honest, I predict the same amount of points as last year.
Yeah, I think it's going to. I think it's going to be more of a change of how they play versus how they actually improve. Because I think right now you're kind of doing. I feel like it's a similar move to the Rudy Garcia in terms of you're not really improving your manager that you lose.
No, Rudy Garcia is a step down. He was.
Okay.
So I don't think it's fair to say Rudy Garcia.
But I think it's more in line with when Allegri came back to Juve. I think it's where, okay, you're getting kind of a relatively sure thing where you're going to be in top four, but you're not really going to improve the game, and it's going to possibly open up space for another team to surpass you. If you finish second last year as they did, maybe they finish third or fourth or potentially even fifth, given how some teams are looking right now. So I wasn't a huge fan of it, but I'm still, it's not that much of an upgrade from Pioli.
Mike, I want to pose this question to you. I always got the sense that Pioli was beloved in the locker room and demanded a lot of respect from his players, especially being there, kind of turning Milan around and also winning a Scudetto with them. I think there is a higher likelihood of Milan going belly up with a manager that doesn't have that cachet and who's tactically, in my mind, on equal footing as Pioli.
So I think that is a fair point, the latter half of that, for sure. Like, I think that a lot of Milan fans in particular were pretty frustrated with Pioli's just, like, refusing to adapt tactically. But I don't think that this is a guy that's going to jump team forward. They're going to play different. Good. But I think that their ceiling is just about the same. This is not someone that's going to take them to the next level. And I do think that, like, having a guy like Pioli did matter in the locker room. This is a guy that had been really incorporated into the sort of DNA at Milan over the last however many years. I just think that, who knows how things with Fonseca will go. I think Milan's one of these teams where you're kind of always on the hot seat. We've seen them, obviously under, like, different management, but you've seen, like, Milan legends come in and coach the team and get the axe. And the fans are pretty, pretty demanding. So we'll see. I think that the tough thing is that, and I'm veering off of your original question here, but the tough thing is that's, like, this is a team that I think is around 70 points. I think that, like, I think it's Inter and everybody else, so I think it's not going to be, Milan's going to go out and grab second place for themselves. And I think that this is a situation that could boil over pretty quickly if things go slowly at the beginning, if they're getting a lot of, draws and lose a few games. I think that it could potentially, but then you have to ask yourself, like, not to go down another rabbit hole of, like, what's the next best option. So ultimately, I think he will get the full season. I think that it'll be fine, but I don't think that, like, this is a guy that's going to transform the team in any meaningful way.
Yeah, I got one question for Mike because I think it's important to talk about it. The Xerxes transfer debacle, your thoughts, your insight into the Milan fan base, how they took it. Did they? I heard it. Some sources quote it was a $15 million agent fee, which Cardinale was saying no, absolutely not, as a principal type of thing. So, mind you, this is Xerxes who lit up Serie A last year,
but he ended the last 10 games in Serie A without a goal.
Sure, but then you go with Alva Morata. So, Mike, I want to hear your personal opinion and also if you could speak to what you saw from Milan supporters on that topic.
Yeah, look, I think that as a player, as a prop, like, Xerxes is already a very developed player, sure, like, but there's no question who you'd rather have, right? You had to pick between the two of them. You know what Morata is, and he's in the second half of his career here. He's going to be able to get Milan some goals, but he does have the reputation as a guy that wastes chances, a guy that's not going to get the job done some of the time. I think a lot of that is unearned. I think that, it's earned, but you know, I do think that he brings a lot of positives, I should say, to the team. Like, he's a proven winner. He's a guy that knows how to get things done.
He's a leader.
He also lives offside.
Yeah, he's a leader, but there's no question that Xerxes, the guy that Milan wanted. There's no question that as a fan, that you want to see them go out, spend money on a guy who just showed all of this promise on Bologna on a really what was a magical season last year. And they fumbled it. Like, if you remember, like, in May of last year, it was getting reported all over Italy that it was a done deal. Mm-hmm. The fees had been agreed. Everything was lined up. And then, you know, there were rumors that Malta, once it became clear that Malta was getting the Juve job, he was going to end up at Juve. And then, you know, United swoops in at the last minute. So I think it's the first thing is just obviously Milan couldn't compete on the money. It's just not a team that's going to go out there and you know, bang bodies with a financial powerhouse like Manchester United. I think that from what I've seen from the fans, you know, it's kind of a balance of being like the management botched this one to somewhat of the tendency sometimes that a lot of fans have for any of the, you know, for anyone's team, just to be like, oh, like what were we supposed to do? The you know, you can't go out there. But that felt like a little too provincial for me.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, I think that this is just poor business. This is something that should have been wrapped up in the first week of June. And that's the way that it seemed like it was heading. But it's super disappointing. And it's something that I completely forgot about. It feels like a year ago.
Trying to black it out.
Yeah, I mean, it was not good. It's
honestly, an attacking trident of Leao, Xerxes, and Pulisic was a terrifying prospect.
Yeah, I mean, think about the movement there. Think about a lot of the positives that like those teams could bring, that those players could bring to a team. But it's going to be very straightforward now with what you're getting. Like, this is not a dynamic player. This is not someone who's like looking to develop anything in Morata. You know what it's going to be, but it's an embarrassment for sure from my perspective.
Now, you want to talk about your beloved Roma, who I think are the transfer window winners this year, from what I've
seen? Yeah, so, I mean, this is a title that we gave out maybe to them last year. I think Rocco and I were really lauding them last year for what they did with Lukaku and co. But it's an interesting
transfer. You're forgetting Renato Sanchez. I just want to throw that
and Dybala.
Out
there. I forgot about Renato Sanchez. Well, obviously, Dybala was
Dybala was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Wow, it's been a while.
So I think, like, look, they did a lot in the attack. I think Sole is a guy that I was really surprised to see Juve just, you know,
let walk
away. Not like, obviously, they got 25 million euro for him, but I think that that's a player that's going to improve Roma. I'm excited about the, I forget how to pronounce his last name, but
the striker?
Ukrainian.
God knows I'm not doing that.
I know I'm butchering that. I'm sorry. But
leading goal scorer in La Liga last year.
He had an amazing year at Girona. He is definitely going to add a little bit of dynamicism in the attack that Roma was missing a lot and hopefully take some of the creative load off of Dybala at times and also be able to get some goals, right? Like someone who's going to be up there and finish. Mm. I think the big thing, though, is that they did not do anything to patch a huge, huge hole on the left in the left back position. Like, Spina leaving is really not great, and going to a direct rival on a free. So now you're relying on, you know, Celik, I guess, is going to probably have the starting job.
He plays right back.
You're not a fan of Angelino?
Angelino, I mean, like, look, like,
I've been an
Angelino fan since he was at NYCFC wearing that number 69 jersey as a 19-year-old. So even if you're like, I think right back's also an issue for Roma.
For sure.
I think that Roma's problem this year is going to have to be keeping the ball out of the net enough times, which is like interesting because last year we were saying like they couldn't score enough goals. Their defense was relatively solid, but they just like they just always felt stuck and muddy, and that's not what I'm expecting this year. I think things are going to be a little bit more fluid, a little bit faster this year with some of the pace, some of the creativity and the goal scoring that they added. I just think that the defense, you know, it's anchored by Mancini. Smalling should hopefully be a little bit healthier, but either of the wing back positions are pretty pretty bleak right now. I mean,
unless they go to a three back, they could do a three back.
That's what they did a little bit last year.
Yeah,
it could, but I mean, I do feel hopeful about Didasi like having the full year.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be hopefully positive, but like, I still just think that like, not having those positions, if you do commit to a three back, you know, that's a totally different philosophy.
Exactly,
you lose a lot of the potential that you could have in four back. Obviously, like modern soccer, you want to play with pretty attack minded outside backs. I think the real win for Roma this year is letting Rui Patricio go and just giving the job to Svilar. Patricio was so abysmal for his tenure at Roma. It just was unbelievable watching some of the goals that he let in, and it's just really, really shocking that he had the job as long as he did, but I guess he was Mourinho's guy, you know, the Portuguese connection. But I mean, I'm excited. I think that this is going to be a fun team again. Always, always cool to watch them. One of the best home crowds, but I don't see this team taking the Champions League, if I'm completely honest. There are just too many obvious flaws in it.
I'm very curious to see how Baldanzi develops, because he's kind of like the Dybala heir apparent. Obviously, he's a lot younger. He's going to, when Dybala's not there, but it's like, I feel like with Mourinho, he kind of lost a year of development where he's not going to be able to play fluid attacking soccer. And so now it's like with De Rossi, because the thing with De Rossi was he could play good football. He just didn't have the skillful players to do it. And last season we saw that like he can do it. Now it's like, okay, you're going to have a full season. You're probably not going to get fired. You're going to have a little longer of a time span than most managers, because he's basically the closest thing to a god besides Totti in the city. So it's like, can he get the most out of Baldanzi? And then in that case, can the attack really be flying at that point?
I'm curious to know what he's going to do with the midfield. I think the midfield is a big question, because he has like a weird combo there. He has Cristante, Paredes, Pellegrini. He can do a triangle of sorts.
And Dybala was kind of playing there too
What is he going to do? Like, where is Dybala and the new striker going to play together? I'm very curious to see. That's probably the thing that I'm most excited for. It's how is De Rossi, because it doesn't seem like these pieces naturally fit all together at the same time. I'm very curious to see how he's going to make it.
Well, I think with Paredes and Cristante, they're not going to be on the same time. I think it's going to be one of the two, with the Pellegrini kind of being more the, not box to box or dynamic, but like kind of a mix. And then Dybala solely kind of in the attacking spaces.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's going to be something to that effect, because like, other than that, you wouldn't want to have Cristante and Paredes, because they're not offering much in forward passing. You can't sit Pellegrini because he's your captain, and then we're going to put Dybala. Like, I think one of those two are going to suffer, so I don't know which one.
The idea of another season of Paredes, it's really just terrible.
I thought he was decent last year.
I hate to admit it, but towards the end of last season, he was okay.
Don't get me wrong, I hate him. I don't think he's a good player.
He's a money laundering scheme.
He had a good year.
Yeah,
for his standards, but
which aren't high.
I desperately want to talk about my favorite team, the J.
I'll take this one.
But Rocco's not here. We'll touch on it a little bit, but we're gonna save it for. We're going to save a really in-depth discussion for when Rocco's on, but the J, man.
The J? I mean, like...
Reconstruction this year.
No, it's not reconstruction. It's the nuclear bomb post, and then now, next year is going to be the reconstruction, because now it's like, they're blowing up everything. Kies is going to go. Rugani, much to Rocco's heartbreak.
That's probably where Rocco couldn't make it today.
Yeah, he's probably mourning still. No, I mean, like... We've been clamoring this for years, right? And now Giuntoli is like, okay, let's start extremely fresh. Thiago Motta, young coach, coming in, basically giving him what's looking like a war chest out of nowhere with all these signings that he's getting with Douglas Luiz.
Yeah, well, they're selling a lot too to fund it.
Well, yeah, but also it's like, you know, I feel like right now it's the calm before the storm of winter. There's going to be a lot more exits, very few coming in. And next summer is probably going to be when they actually start buying the whole infrastructure of the team. And for me, it's like, that's when I'm going to judge them fairly to say, okay, now let's see the Juve. Because right now, the way they're looking, they might finish like fourth, fifth, depending on like how you look at their team. Especially if they sell Chiesa and Susan playing the way Susan usually plays.
This has the potential to be a be careful what you wish for situation about people wanting Allegri gone for such a long
time. Yeah, I was going to hear
like,
that way too.
This could end up... and. You know, to some people, this would be enjoyable. But some people who were clamoring for Allegri to leave, maybe shocked to see how much he was getting Juve to punch above their weight.
Yeah, basically covering the holes.
Covering a lot of cracks, yeah, playing in a system that didn't make them vulnerable. So I'm very curious to see how that's gonna work. I like what they did in the midfield, especially if they had Koop Miners. I like what they did. I think Koop Miners is a great player. But you know, their attack gives me pause for
and
concern.
And they're back. And the back line is a cause for
and
concern.
And Mota's unproven at a big level. I mean, Mike, your thoughts on Mota, given that he was potentially linked to Milan?
Well, I mean, he went to the biggest team in Italy, which, you know,
you can't really
as an Inter legend, can't feel great.
I don't know if I call him a legend, but yeah.
But, he's pretty legendary during the Inter era. Yeah, I think Mota, he's kind of the hot commodity right now. I think, like, he's certainly like the current version of Atalanta, you know, being like the hipster fans pick for everything, and his tactics are just so interesting, and like there's some really great stuff on YouTube that if you guys are really interested in in-depth breakdowns of what's going on with them and just like this positionless soccer sort of revolution that's happening, it's really cool stuff. But you know, I think like I'm of two minds, right? Like, one, if you can get a guy like that and you can give him a go, get in at the ground floor, right? Like, we saw what he did with Bologna, and that was just, like, truly unbelievable. You know, you look at the roster there, and, like, that was crazy. I think that, like, if I'm him, I think it makes the most sense to go to Juve, right? Let's be realistic. They're not the best team right now on paper, but they do have Diva's pockets, and if things stick there tactically for him, he's going to be there for a very long time, and he's going to have his pick, or he's not, right? Or he's going to go somewhere even bigger. But it's disappointing not to get him, but I totally understand like the decision to pick Juve. It's the bigger team, it's the bigger, you know, it's the bigger budget team. But you know, I'm very curious, and I've been having a lot of conversations with Rocco about this, right? Like, I think that things have looked really weird for Juve in the preseason match, and I know that you in the preseason matches and you can't give too much weight to that stuff. But is he just auto on the hot seat? Like, what is your guys' take here? Because I just don't know what to make of it.
I've been saving this take. I was hoping Rocco was here for it. I think there's a chance this could become a Graham Potter-Chelsea situation where they left from Tuchel, proven, played awful football, but won or was competitive, went with the sexy choice with Graham Potter, and now and they've been reeling ever since. Invested in the squad, huge transfers, all went to crap.
You know who enjoys this, right?
All went to crap. I think this has the potential to be a very similar situation where Giuntoli comes in, from my understanding, doesn't have prioritized to Juve. Don't think he really knows how Juve historically operates. He probably knows it, but didn't live it.
Yeah.
Which is, it to Juve's credit, is a different animal.
And it's a well-run animal.
You know, fino alla fine, stile Juve, the whole crap, you know, it's tattooed on me at this point. So him coming from Napoli, which is a completely different ballgame, I think can be a danger here. I personally like it. You know, if that was my club, I like what he's doing. I like the manager that he brought in. I like the players that he brought in. But with the history of Juve in the background there, I think it can really become an issue very quickly. It's very combustible.
Yeah,
I think it's a perfect way to put it.
My concern is if you're comparing the Bologna situation to what he has at Juve now, Bologna, he was given the space to kind of 2 years, 3 years to kind of really put in his philosophy. Juve, if they're not competing in the Champions League places, or they got to finish out of the Champions League places, you're out before the season ends. That's one. Two, you're going through a reshuffling of players. If you're trying to inhibit a system and teach these guys your tactics, but then the players that might be getting it are leaving, then you're starting from square one all over again. So then it's a constant confusion. Certain players are certain progress in their tactics versus other ones just learning it. And then also, always the big question with transfers, are you getting the right players? That's a whole nother thing where it's like the midfielders seems like they are. But I'm saying if you're reliant on wide play, which I think he kind of is a little bit, and also his main plays with the striker since Dusan went to Juve. He hasn't done, pardon my language, dick in the big games when he came from Fiore. When Fiore, he was scoring goals like crazy. Comes to Juve, he had one like spurt when he first got there. Other than that, where has he been? His finishing is atrocious. He can't play his back to goal. He has to rely on everyone else setting him up for tap-ins, and even those he misses. So it's like there's a lot, to your point of being combustible, there's a lot of already lit matches that once they put together, the whole thing's going to blow up quicker than
I just can't wait for the one game where Juve gives up three or four goals. You know you're going to hear the old-timers come out of the woodshed saying, hey, you know,
this isn't the Juve,
that we know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some people on this podcast maybe would come on and say, Grinta's missing. We don't have Grinta anymore. Bring back Conte. Like,
and
that is more prevalent in Juve than any other club in Serie A. I would say probably even in the world, where they are so used to winning at any means necessary. 1-0. It doesn't matter how it looks. Just win. And I think if he's not delivering results, no one's going to care. No one's going to give him a pat on the back for saying you played beautiful football, but you lost.
Yeah, but again, Juve still, as a team, they're still going to be competitive because I feel like kind of as a league as a whole, just to briefly touch on it, the disparity between the top six teams and the rest of the league has grown so much wider that they're still going to get somewhat most of their points through just beating up on the lower teams. It's when you play the Milans, the Inters, the Atalantas, Fiore, kind of, Roma, and Lazio. It's how you do against those.
I think Juve is either contending for the Scudetto this year or fighting for dear life to stay in the top four. I don't see them comfortably in second. I don't see them comfortably in third. I see them fighting for their life in fourth or fighting for the Scudetto. It's going to go one of two ways. I don't think there's a middle ground. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I just first off want to go back to just say that the Grand Potter call out is it's a really good comparison. I didn't think of that, and I wish I had. I think that that's sort of just like exactly where they are. I think Juve needs to make top four. I think if they don't, I think that they also need to do it convincingly, right? Like, I think it's a fan base that's used to winning. And I think that if this is another season where it's going to like look experimental and it's going to if they're going to be in fifth place on the last two weekends and just eke out fourth, like, it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
I think that they really need to be targeting second. They'll say that they're going for the Scudetto, but we all know like that's Inter's to lose. I think Juve needs to like look like the second best team. And maybe Moto works as magic with a better roster can definitely win it, but like I think that they need to be like convincingly in the Champions League for things to go well there this summer. Yeah. Well, this season, I should say.
But also, I know I mentioned that Juve need to kind of win against the big games to really solidify being in Champions League, but also it's like, I think obviously, as Gonzalo mentioned, Inter, it's kind of Inter and everyone else, but the distance between everyone else, between that 2-6, 2-7, besides maybe Lazio, it's all pretty tight. Like, all those teams are going to lose points against each other, no matter what. Like, it's not going to be like a typical Milan, Juve, Inter always going to get their points and maybe ties. Now it's like, Atalanta can pull massive upsets against anyone. Roma, with the season they have, the transfers they're having right now and how they play at the end of last season, they can upset a lot of people. And then you have Fiorentina, although it's like, you kind of wonder what they're doing. Like, they might be able to have a shout. So it's like, the distance between, I feel like, that 2-6 got a lot tighter, and maybe Juve can capitalize on that potentially.
I don't know. They didn't secure top four by a lot of points last year.
They were poor after the winter break.
So
yeah,
if they're caught, quote, in a transitionary period, there's a chance for Roma, even in Atalanta, even with the Scamacca injury, to catch them. That's where I'll leave it. I think I want to take this opportunity to like talk about another combustible subject, and that's our boy Conte.
At Napoli.
I'm so excited. This is the first soap opera, telenovela, you name it. This is going to be glorious for any fans. You know, we're already seeing rumblings of him being discontent.
Well, so that's one thing that's like interesting. It's like
two egos.
Well, aside from Di Laurentiis, talking about Conte specifically, it's like he was obviously, was he at Bari before he went to Juve? I think
so.
He was at Bari.
Mike would know.
And then he went to Juve. But we think about Juve and think about Inter when he would have his spats and Chelsea to an extent. These are all fans of like the quote unquote institution of Serie A, more or less, right? And institution of what is in the Premier League. He's going to a Napoli who are like the outsider mentality. Their fan base and their infrastructure is going to be a lot different where it's like, we're not like the upper breast that we can tolerate this shit. Like, we're going to come back at you and we're going to probably say things we shouldn't say, and it's going to keep fumbling. And then to add further to the fire, as you mentioned, the De Laurentiis part of it, he can't keep his mouth shut either. So it's
you have the two most egomaniacal people in Serie A who are now going to have to work together towards the same goal. Gosh, that's going to be
great. You can make a case he had that, though, with
Agnelli. It's just oil and vinegar stuff here. Like, yeah. this is going to be either, I just don't see it. I was going to be like, oh, like, this is either going to work perfectly or not. I think that this is doomed for failure, right? Like, I don't see the path forward here.
I'm so excited for it, though. It's going to be great. It's going to be, I agree with you. The only way that I think this works is because of this bad season that Napoli had last year.
They're just so happy to get someone new.
Laurentiis is like, I need to save face. I'm going to give Conte what he wants. I'll do it like because I need to.
But Conte's already complaining.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't look like. I'm just saying, like, that's the only way that Laurentiis that I could see this working.
Yeah.
And the early rumblings are saying otherwise. I am so pumped for this. Only Cairo or Lotito would make this better, but like De Laurentiis is like creme de la creme. Like, this is going to be awesome. Just watch this space, folks. This is going to be
fun. Well, it doesn't matter, because if Conte gets fired or he leaves, Maresca will be fired before the season starts. So they'll just take him to Napoli. That's going to be the next guy ready.
It's going to be a good time.
But when I saw the Conte thing, I was like, okay, this is a try to do better than you did last season higher. Fine. Totally respect that. When you look at the Napoli team, it is one of the more polar opposite teams that Conte has ever had to deal with, because Conte, typical 3-5-2, we're going to defend like mad and we're going to just counter you with long balls to the forward to knock it down, right? It's been a tactic since day one. Galan was a prime example of seeing that.
I disagree. I think this team, and we'll talk about this in a later segment of the podcast, I think it could work. And if it does, we have a hell of a team on our hands. I think you could see a Hazard version of Kvaratskhelia. I think you can see...
Are we still on that? I don't know.
I'm on that, and I know I just butchered his name, so I'll call him Kvara from going forward.
Yeah, just call him Kvara going forward.
I just can't pronounce it. So, I think he can make it. People are questioning Lobotka. He had a player like this in Pirlo. He's got his runners.
Lobotka won't be the issue.
He's got his center back in Buongiorno. He's got it. I think it could potentially work. He just needs to get his son and Lukaku in the door.
Okay. Like this is my thing. I this is what I don't get.
He's the only manager in the world that's like, Osimhen's not good enough. Give me Lukaku
instead.
You
have a $150 million race record that, like, when you think about what he's actually good at, you think for a Conte system would actually work well. Like, he can play back to goal. He's not as good as Lukaku. I'm not saying that, because Lukaku on his day can play very good back to goal.
You can't get through him.
But this guy adds so much more. One, he finishes chances. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Aerially, no one can match this guy. Physically, he's going to run and run and run and run. And also, him and Cavada have a chemistry together. Like, they've played together. You're bringing in a whole new guy that's not going to be as physically fit, who's not going to be able to run as much, who's going to have heavier touches and not finish your clear chance. Even when he was at Inter with Conte, how many chances did this guy miss?
I know.
So I'm just like, that. And then also with Cavada, are they going to do a 3-5-2? Are they going to do a 4-2-4 like he did at Bayern, like how he kind of did at Chelsea? Like, I feel like he's going to have to reinvent the wheel to a point where these players can't match the reinventing that he needs.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, and also, that's just tactically. Volatility-wise, he's going to blow a gasket on the first missed tackle or missed clearance that they're going to have. It's going to be, like you said, it's a great thing to watch, but I just feel bad because now they have such a good team that once Spalletti leaves, it's just crumbling down and they can't fix anything.
I got a good question for Mike. Mike, if I told you Conte makes it to the end of the year, what place do you think Napoli's in? And this will tie into our preseason picks, but I think it's actually a good time to jump into
it. I think fifth and up would keep him the job. I think I don't know though. Like the thing is it's like I feel like these two personalities are just the type that like he could be on an 8-match winning streak and he has the
yeah.
His
like
the
like that,
event is
yeah.
And it's over.
You can literally see it where it's like they start the first 5 games letting up like one goal. Like you could totally see that happening with this team.
You know what makes me so sad is that we missed Conte versus Allegri by a year. Like two ships passing in the night. God damn.
Because every time you guys play Juve, he hates it.
It's so much fun.
You'd have two dinosaurs just like
battling. He never went up against Allegri.
No, I'm saying if they were, you'd have two just like rock fights.
Oh,
you wouldn't
God.
Have anything. You guys would possess the ball.
We were robbed of that. We were robbed of that. Someone needs to get fired and Allegri needs to take the job. Probably Fonseca. But Allegri needs to take the job.
We're gonna get into that a little later,
yeah,
too.
Okay.
So we still have some time. But we can go into... So do you want to do predictions now? Because
yeah.
We kind of hit the major...
Yeah, let's do our predictions.
All right.
And then
We'll go to Mike first with his predictions.
Yeah, Mike, what who do you have in your top six?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a really wild year. I'm conflicted on a few things, right? And I'm gonna just come out with like my like assumptions like slash thoughts here. If Mata is can figure it out at Juve and can unlock some of the stuff that Allegri never could with like Dusan, it does. Who knows what's happening with Chiesa? That's one of the things that we didn't touch on with the Juve segment. So who knows?
Future
Inter like
player
back
there.
Isn't there new reports that he might be going to Milan now? That Milan might try to hijack it?
Well, the report started out that he was going to Roma, and then
he said no.
He was going to wait for the free transfer to Inter.
Yeah,
and then now, like, Juve's posting pictures of him in training and stuff like that, so who really knows? I mean,
I think we'd have to... I think someone would need to do a wellness check on a couple of members of this podcast if Chiesa went to Inter.
There's one member.
There's two.
There's one member who's never on. We have to make sure he doesn't, do something terrible.
I think there's two members that we need to do a wellness check.
No, Rocco wouldn't.
I don't know, Mike. You would know.
I think Rocco would laugh and laugh and laugh. I think that he is so jaded about Juventus these days. But
I like how you use a J word as a verb.
Yeah, well... You have to contractually.
Jaded spelled J-DED.
So no surprise. Like I have Inter winning the league, and I think it's going to be a pretty comfortable margin. I know that it's not the sexy pick. It's not interesting, but it's the logical pick. They're -160 favorites for a reason. It's got to be Inter. I think, so when I'm trying to pick two and three, I think it's, On rosters, it's between Milan and Juve. And the question really is, it's like, which new manager do you think is going to do better? I'm inclined to think that Motta is going to, just by virtue of being in Italy again and being with a stronger roster, figure it out. So I'm putting Juventus second. I'm going to put Milan third. And then I think it gets tougher to place 4 through 6, right? Because that there are, it's the margins are razor thin. And I think that, part of me wants to believe that Roma is going to be good and put them in fourth, but I just think like the last 2 years, and just there's not enough belief for me. I think that I've got Napoli 4, I've got Roma finishing 5th, and I'm going to take a flyer here and put Fiorentina 6th. So from 1 to 6, Inter, Juve, Milan, Napoli, Roma, Fiore.
I would just like to point out that I'm glad, Mike is so consistent. That feud between him and the Bergamo Bros just continues for another season.
I told you that too. I feel like shit because I forgot that they existed.
Yeah.
They're not even living in my head rent free anymore.
Yeah, he's just,
they're gone.
Mike finally destroyed the condo. Be gone.
He's like, those Bergamo Bros.
You know, that's actually a good point. I'm gonna change things slightly, I guess. I guess I'm gonna put Atalanta 5th, and I'll put Roma 6th.
Whoa, okay.
Okay.
It's a good point. I completely forgot they existed. I've just been, committed to wellness. and forgetting about my enemies during
I feel like one of my new favorite things is like, can they survive a cold when they night in Bergamo? I think that's Mike. I think Mike coined that one. Someone said that, and I think I love that. I love that.
Get out of Europe.
I agree. I think Inter's a favorite.
You're not gonna put them first, though.
I am. I'm gonna put them first. Don't get me wrong. I'm gonna bet against them every single week, but Inter first. I think Napoli is going to contend. I'm going to put them second. I think Conte needs to do well this year. He's been out of football for, I think, a year and a half, 2 years. Listen, if he doesn't do well here, his options start to get look really limited.
It's like mid-table.
Yeah, like he's got to be careful now, and I think he's motivated. So let's see. Even if he doesn't get what he wants, I think he will, but it's he's got the talent, he's got the players, and I think he's motivated. I like Milan third. Juve look bad in preseason. This has root like this. If Scamacca didn't get hurt, I'd put them fourth. Mm-hmm. I'd put Atalanta fourth, especially with Kaká right behind them. But the fact that they're going to lose Scamacca and potentially Koopmeiners to the team that they're going to be contesting for that fourth spot for, I think Juve's probably in fourth. And then give me Atalanta fifth, Roma sixth. That's probably the hardest part of this pick for me is those two going back. And then
that's six.
Oh, that's six. Okay.
That's six. These are all great arguments. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of forgot certain narratives, so now I got to read things. Inter's first. That's not going to be the shock. Inter first.
This is like my worst nightmare, by the way. Like Inter. Everyone's like, "Oh, Inter," because where Inter's caused me the most pain in my life.
Yeah. 2-6. I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't know.
It's tough.
Fiore, I think are going to be bad. I think. I'm going to put Napoli third. I think Napoli would be the third.
Wait, no, give us second.
I know.
Go in order. What kind of psychopath are you?
I've had a long day, man. I was golfing a lot.
It was one, three.
He doesn't know who's finishing between
He says one.
Teams, but someone is.
He talks about the first place, and he's like, oh, that team's not going to be even in the running. Then third, here's this one. Give us the one. Give us second. Come on.
Milan
second.
Milan second.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just a normal... I think it's just going to be like kind of status quo. Like nothing really changes. They kind of just do their job when they have to. I think Juve third. Roma fourth.
Oh.
Atalanta fifth. But they're going to get a Champions League like they did last
time. Oh, my God. You got...
No, because...
Where you got Napoli?
Oh, fuck. Napoli fourth. I knew I forgot something.
I was like, damn, Margo. Yeah. You have Conte like leaving half the year after assaulting De Laurentiis in like a back room scuffle. Like, what do you got here?
He just gets a club. I think so. I wanted to put Atalanta fourth, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was going to put Napoli below them. But yeah. I was thinking about it. They're still without Scalvini.
Yeah. They have a lot of
decimated. They're without Scamacca. They're losing Koopmeiners. Retegui is going to have to be fully embedded into the system. Lookman's probably going to go somewhere. I feel like the Premier League is just calling him at some point. I think if it's not this window, it's going to be the next.
Yeah.
And I think just didn't they lose their right back or the Ruggeri? I think I think or he might be on the way out or something like that. It's just a typical Atalanta thing where they're losing their players. So I think if Scamacca was there, I'd be more confident. But that alone, and plus bringing a new forward to try to do cover, it's just a lot.
Yeah.
Roma, I do like the window a lot. I know last year or whenever I was on the pod, I was always ragging them, but I do have to commend them. Like I did like them. I think their forward is going to be a little bit of a bust.
They're going to be a spicy team. I'm excited to watch Roma.
They're going to play upset, which I'm very curious about. I thought about Lazio for a hot sec, but they're on fire. I don't know what the hell is going on with them. Fiore, similar. They're kind of in a rebuild right now with Balladino now coming in there, trying to do a new thing to Vincenzo. So again, I'm not fully confident. Part of me wants to change. Actually, I'm going to do that. I'm going to change Napoli and Juve. I'm going to put Napoli third, Juve fourth. I think just because even regardless of manager, I think just squad-wise, Napoli have a better squad than Juve at the moment. And Milan, just same status quo. So to recap, Mike has Inter winning it, Juve second, Milan third, Napoli fourth, Atalanta fifth, Roma sixth. Galano has Inter first, Napoli second, Milan third, Juve fourth, Atalanta fifth, Roma sixth. I have Inter first, Milan second, Napoli third, Juve fourth, Roma fifth, Atalanta sixth. So,
okay.
All right, we're
this is the part of the podcast where Rocco would give us one of his 100%, and I feel its absence.
You would get the Rocco Parma in sixth place pick here somehow.
No, it's going to be Lazio
challenging.
It's going to be Cuomo. So I wanted this is new to the pod. I kind of wanted, we touched on it a little bit here and there, but I want to go around the table. First manager in your eyes that gets sacked that doesn't count as a relegation team or one of the lower mid tip. Okay. Of the set this out of the league, which one do you think is going to get sacked first? I'm going to start with Mike on this one.
Okay.
So
it's only it's only basically the six we said.
I think you should do one. You should do like who do you think is going to get sacked first, and then pick like your scandalous pick, like your top six.
Okay,
like of the top six, who's losing their manager first?
Okay,
I don't know. It's so tempting for me with Conte. I kind of think that there's a world where he's out by October. Is he sacked
or does he leave?
Oh, he leaves.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I mean.
I said sacked on purpose because Conte, like, you don't know.
No, oh, it's the same principle. Yeah, same principle. He leaves.
I mean,
I already have mine. I already know mine.
I'm gonna say Baroni. With Lazio, I think it's going to be a really shit year for those guys. I think that there's a lot of moving parts. Last year was bad with Sarri, and I don't see them hitting a high points mark. I just think it's going to be a lot of struggle, and I think it's a huge team still. I think that their fan base is super demanding. I think that coaching and Rome, either of those two jobs are super difficult, and I think... Yeah. That Rossi sort of has built-in, superpower. So he's not going to get touched, at least for a while. I think that if I'm being completely honest, I think Conte will do well just because he's so good at what he does that they're going to get results. Milan and Juve, I think, will be afraid to have to pay money to another manager. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is just kind of like process of elimination for me, but I'm going to go with Baroni and Lazio here.
Okay. Galano, you go.
Oh, I think it's going to be Ivan Juric. I think he's...
That's a good pick, actually. That's a good pick.
I think Torino are so bad this year.
I thought he's gone from Torino now.
I think he's still there.
No, I think he left.
Well, then does it mean I won?
No, I'm just...
Oh, yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Why does it say that he's currently...
No, he left at the end of last season.
Okay, so good.
So does that mean Gaetano wins?
No, he doesn't win. That's okay. Last season. All right.
Well, even more to my point, which we'll talk about that segment later.
Yeah.
But I... I think it's going to be Motta. Motta is going to be the first one sacked. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I think if they're out of top four, you'll see.
How early do you think? You think it's going to be an end of a season thing?
No, I think it's going to, if they're struggling, if they're not, if they're well behind fourth, you could see it in March.
That's still kind of late.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that point, you might as well just do it until the end of the year.
Yeah.
Mine's easy. I've said it since they appointed him, Fonseca. He's going to be my first one fired. Yeah. I think it's going to be one of the things where you're going to start seeing, you guys mentioned Pioli's presence in the locker room was ironclad. And obviously, Zlatan being there, kind of being his non-official captain, but captain of the locker room. Fonseca doesn't have that relationship with him. Fonseca is coming in, trying to be a new, innovative, attacking-minded person. Meanwhile, a lot of Milan's games, as Galan can mention, was through grit and through, good defending at most points, especially when they won the Scudetto. They just defended the hell out of it and scored 1-0s, 2-1s. I think that's gone. And I think if you're going to come in saying, I'm going to lock Leao, that's fine, but you need to figure out ways to get your midfield involved and get the forward involved. I think with Morata and I think with the midfield themselves, he can't do it. And I think he's kind of, he coached in Serie A, but that was what, 6-7 years ago? Serie A, player-wise and tactic-wise, has drastically changed. And I think is why I think he's kind of like a Rudy Garcia, where, yeah, he coached and said, yeah, before, but now he can't adapt to times. I think that's going to cause Milan, if they come out early, kind of similar to Juve, I think they're going to be like, we need to get a change. And the Rossoneri fans are a lot more volatile than the Juve fans, some might argue. So I think all those factors in play, if they don't go to a good start, I think Fonseca is the first one gone.
Just a quick question. I just did a quick search, mind you. This is just a quick Google search. It says, Ivan Juric holds the position of manager at Torino.
Really?
Is he still there? Can someone confirm this for me?
I'll confirm it, but let me...
Because if he's still there, he's the first one gone.
Okay. We'll ask for Stefan. I'll check it later.
I wasn't going crazy. I literally searched it beforehand. It's still him.
So now on the topic of, although we went for a second, let's go a little more positive note. What team do you guys think will have the best attack, and what team will you think have the best defense? Galano, you go first.
Best attack, Inter. Best defense, it'll be Napoli.
Mike, what about you?
Both Inter.
Okay. Oh God, I feel that eye.
I think best attack.
Oh, it's got to be Inter. It's not even
close. I think, yeah, I'm trying to like do spicy stuff. I think it's Inter. I think the best defense is gonna be. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to bite off you. I don't want to do this. I think it's going to be Roma, surprisingly. I think it's going to be a little bit of a surprise at how they defend. Okay. I think if they do a three-back, that suits them better. And their center backs, aside from our belief about Mancini, he is serviceable. And I think with Smalling fully back and then Ndika also back there, he showed good stuff at the end of the season. I think they're going to be an SL upset pick for best defense in Serie A. Alrighty. Yeah, no, we'll go. We have
relegation predictions. I love this. Yeah. This is what I'm about.
All right. So, God, yeah, you go first with relegation predictions.
Let me see. Okay. So, I want to just pull something up. Actually, you guys go first. I want to pull.
Yeah, it says May. Football Italia report on May 28, 2024. Juric had long intended to leave Torino at the end of this contract, and his departure has been confirmed, leaving a vacancy in the Granata dugout. He isn't keen to step away from football, however, and is already on the lookout for his next role.
Okay.
Football Italia report.
All right, these are my predictions to go down. I have Venezia. Venezia, Hellas Verona, and... my pick, the surprise, Torino.
Wow. I think that is shocking.
This is the year Torino goes down.
Mike, what about you?
Okay, so I agree on Verona. I agree on Venezia. I just don't see how they stay up. I'm going to go boring and also pick Parma. I just don't see it. And then I think that this is goodbye, Cagliari.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it took a miracle for them to come up to begin with. My three, you took two of them. Venezia, Verona. Third one, Empoli. I think Empoli are going down. Empoli,
I didn't see it.
They were terrible, and they somehow eked out.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I'm going to keep Verona in. I'm going to put Cagliari out.
Okay.
Cagliari, Venezia, and Empoli are my three.
Ranieri retired, right?
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, so...
dude, research
for probably a good bet. Listen, it was a quick Microsoft search.
You mean Google?
No, it was Bing.
You used Bing?
It's a long story.
All right, no, because I was a Bing guy. I didn't realize that. I want to now. It's another new segment. There's a lot of new things on this pod. It's a preseason.
We didn't give this the attention that it deserves. We should have led with this.
No, I'm not doing that. That's gonna be at the end. I'm doing the one ahead of it.
Oh, okay.
So as Gonzalez mentioned, he's big in the gambling universe.
I am not big in the gambling universe. I don't have a problem.
So now we're gonna go into Gonzalez's gambling corner.
No, it's Gambling Gazetta. That's what we're gonna call it.
Is that an appropriate term to call it though? The Gazetta?
I think so.
Okay,
it's a regular.
I want to be proper. Yeah. So Ganado's Gambling Gazette. Ganado. Yeah, Ganado has some spicy ones.
I got some spicy ones.
He actually, so for because we didn't have a pile this year, we couldn't tell us, but what he kept doing at the end of every game, before every game last year, he would do a parlay of Milan and Juve winning. That way it's dual purposeful. He wins the bet. Inter obviously don't get points, but he makes money. He loses the bet. One of them drops points and an Inter win.
Exactly.
So it's a win-win. It's a Malocchio for the ages.
It all works
out. So let's hear the concoction this year.
And they won last year, so this it clearly works. So in addition to my normal weekly AC Milan Juventus
both to win parlay.
It was plus 800 when I made the bet, but now it's looking, I think, plus 700. I have Napoli as the outright winners of the Scudetto. I think those odds.
It's a good value pick.
It's an incredible value pick, especially at plus 800. And I think if Conte stays, he gets his guys playing once a week, I think they're definitely a contender. So that's that pick. Then I have my relegation pick, which I alluded to earlier. I have Torino at plus 900 to go down. I think Juric kept this team afloat. I think they're even worse now than they were last year.
That's a lot.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
I think they have only probably two real Serie A players on that team. So I look for Torino to crumble and be in the hunt. And at plus 900, I think it gives you the best odds out of all the potential relegation teams. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite, which I think is going to hit, I always think it's going to hit, is Juve to win the Serie A plus 430. This is, I bet this with my heart and soul.
I'm getting sick from the toxicity in this.
Bet this with my heart and soul. I love Motta. I love Susan Vlahovic.
Okay,
I
hold on. You joke about saying you love Molten now. Did he help you win a certain Tri Plata?
He was great.
X amount of years ago.
You know, we took Conte, they took Motta. It's fine. So I think if you're a big Juve fan,
Love hard work,
if you're a big Molocchio fan, bet it. Nonetheless, you're going to make money. So
I'm picturing Galan with like a green visor on, just like putting out odds and just telling everyone so they can take their money.
In all seriousness, the Napoli to win
is your most recommended.
Is my favorite. Torino, riskier and it pays you for it. So those are my two picks. Mike, anything that you saw in your futures?
I don't do futures betting just because, I'm never betting enough money that futures betting would make me anything.
Just for fun games.
What I'm hearing is you got to pump those numbers up. That's what I'm hearing. I know you got a wedding to pay for, but pump those numbers up.
But I do want to do this week as well.
I was going to say I'm much more of a this week.
All right, so let's move to this week then, Mike. What do you got? Unless Marco, did you have a future bet that you like?
No, I didn't have a future bet.
Okay, Mike, what do you got for this week?
I've got a nice little parlay cooking here. Okay. I really, really feel good about this one. So to parlay Inter money line over Genoa with Napoli money line over Verona and Fiore money line over Parma gives you plus 539.
Wow.
And if you want to get real spicy and throw Roma over Cagliari in there, it becomes a plus 1121 odds. I just like that. I think that those are teams that should in my world are going to finish in the top seven. Playing teams that are all potentially in the bottom.
I like this. I'm looking at plus 1280 right now.
I'm looking at DraftKings here. So you're on FanDuel.
Yeah, FanDuel.
Also,
my only concern, and I know, this is the Inter fan talking about, but Genoa always plays Inter well. I think they're also playing in Genoa.
Yeah,
I don't think Inter have won there in 4 years. I gotta check that if I'm mistaken, but. Always been a rough time.
I can check that for you.
That's probably the one leg of the parlay that I don't like. So even if I were to take that out, we're looking at plus 7.
Still good odds.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at that. It's not really giving me the history.
You know, Mike, I like that without the Inter part. I'm going to put a nice little $5 on that. Oh, my God.
By the way, speaking of relegation, I forgot to congratulate you guys. Sassuolo no longer in Serie A. You guys aren't going to lose. You guys could see he's going to be on his head, and Berardi's not going to score against you guys. How you guys got to be over the moon about that.
Inter and Milan are going to both go undefeated this season because Sassuolo's no longer in Serie A.
They're not going to have it down in form because they don't have to worry about going to Sassuolo.
Exactly.
Correct me if I'm wrong and not to sidetrack, but Berardi still hasn't moved because he's injured, right?
Correct. Yeah, because he was in ACL or was it an Achilles?
I have no idea.
I know it was one of the bad ones.
It was bad. Yeah. That guy, man, he should have moved like a decade ago.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, he could still move now and start on some of the better Serie A teams.
100% agree.
Go to Roma.
So
I think Mike would have a heart attack of happiness if he went to Roma.
My Calabres brethren leading Roma. I don't know.
Oh man, but you know that's it for the gambling, right? Out. Stop looking.
No, I'm just making sure it went through. Yeah,
Galan's been looking at his phone with his mouth open.
Tentano's like Rain Man right now.
Yeah, he's really like foaming at the mouth. He's like, oh my God, the future is so nice.
No, I like it. We're good. We're solid.
So we're coming to the end of the pod, but what I want to do is I want to get our game picks in, and then we're going to wrap up the pod with a nice little national team crying sesh. But before that, let's get our picks in. I have the three games for the week. So let me just re-pull them up because I accidentally closed out the window. Okay, so games of the week, I picked three of them. Genoa versus Inter. Milan. Bologna versus Udinese. And Juve versus Cuomo.
Okay. Sorry, so Cuomo, Juve, so Bologna.
Genoa home to Inter.
Okay.
Is the first game. Second game is Bologna at home against Udinese.
Okay.
And then the last game is Juve at home against Cuomo.
Okay.
Mike, we'll start with you.
Sorry, which game first?
Genoa at home against Inter.
I know guys concerned here, but I just don't see a world where Genoa does anything in this game. I'm going to say 2-0 to Inter.
He has
1-1.
The spells coming
out. 1-1 for that one.
1-1?
Yep.
I was about to say 1-1 Inter, but I'm a little stupid. I'm going to go 2-1 Inter. Okay, next game is Bologna at home against Udinese. Galan, you go first. I picked this because it's tough.
Give me Bologna 1-0.
1-0 Bologna. Alrighty, Mikey, you're up.
We are in the post Thiago Motta world at Bologna. This is also was honestly I was going to consider picking them for the relegation battle. Oof. Fourth out.
Oof. Well, they have Italiano, so it's not like they have like a terrible manager.
But we thought that was going to go well at Fiorentina, and look what they tried.
We anticipated them making Fiorentina a Champions League side. This is like a once mid-table team. Like I think he can.
Mike, just put an idea in my head. Let me see what that odd looks like for Bologna to go down.
Come on, the segment's over. Nah. Stop the game,
Mike. Do your thing. I'm just going to take a quick look.
I want a boring 0-0 game here.
You want a boring 0-0?
Yes.
I'm going to go 2-0 Udine. Their boy,
that's spicy.
Their boy Sanchez came back. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the lion is back.
And last game is Juventus at home against Como.
Juve 3-1.
Mikey?
I just don't believe in these newly promoted teams to score goals. But they do have Pepe Reina somehow. He's still kicking.
And Varane.
Yeah, and I think Belotti is there now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Belotti. And they have Cutrone.
Richest club in Serie A.
It's a really who's who of Serie A has-beens. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 2-0 to the J.
Going 2-1 to the J. Okay. We got our game picks. We got our gambling.
Last part.
We got to talk about, unfortunately, everyone get your tears. All collected and get your tissues at the ready. We're going to talk about the national team and the disaster that was the Euro. I don't know who to start with. You know what? I'll go with Mike because Gaetano and I were on
it's because he's wearing Lotto.
Yeah. because he's dressed for the part. Mike, what'd you feel about Italy's performance and what some would argue, most would argue, is a disappointment in the Euro? What does it mean for the team as a whole?
Look, I think if you want to break down the game, like the games, just no issue. I mean, like obviously giving up the early goal to Albania was crazy, but they dominated that game. They looked fine. They looked like Italy. They almost gave it away because they are Italy in the 90th minute. Mm-hmm, yeah. But they looked good in that game. I can't really be upset with them losing to Spain. I just think that, you know, obviously now everyone knows how good Spain is. I've been on Spain, this Spain team all summer, so I was pretty happy when they did win. But I think, like, yeah, like they lost 2-0. They were completely outclassed, and that's sort of a microcosm of where Italian soccer is. And they didn't look good against Croatia. They needed a really, really, you know, last-minute Zaccagni beautiful strike to get through. Losing to Switzerland, like, I know that Switzerland has some players on that team, but I just don't understand how that is even a possibility for a team that produces talent at the clip that Italy does. And I know that we don't have like marquee talent right now the same way that we typically do, or like Italy typically does. I think it's, you know, like it's kind of interesting though, because like Italy's always like in the last like few years has like been in these every time, like after the World Cup, after not qualifying for the World Cups, it's like, is this a crisis? Is this a crisis? And it just constantly feels like they're teetering between, you know, crisis and winning tournaments. Mm-hmm. But I think that this really showed. I don't feel like I was shocked by the outcomes, and I don't know if you guys agree, but like, I didn't think that this Italy team would make noise. They didn't make noise. I didn't feel too let down by it though either, because who on that team is doing anything? Like, just looking at the roster, I'm like, okay, like Donnarumma is a star. Bastoni played really well. Calafiori, that was really it.
Calafiori looked good.
Calafiori looked great. It's a shame that he couldn't play at the end, but you know, it's just there's just something, and I know that this is a constant argument in Italy, but like something like they're not producing in the youth, but I'm like they just the attack is just dead. We don't have a real striker, and it's just so glaring. Like, even if, and I know, like, I spent the early part of this being like, Alvaro Morata is not great, but I'm like, are you telling me that guy doesn't improve the Italian national team if you took, like, a guy with his exact skill set and put it? So I think, like, the defense will always find a way to make good, you know, Italy will always find a way to have a good defense. I think, like, Bastoni's a solid defender. Like you said, Calafiori kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know if anyone was, like, expecting him to turn into the caliber of player that he is and get shipped off to a big team like Arsenal.
Juve definitely didn't expect that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for them not getting their guy. So but I think, you know, like, I think that it's just, you know, it's kind of in line with the last couple things. I think, if anything, the Euro is the outlier, right? Like, and if you think about that Euro, they won, like, the last three or four games complete, like, on penalties. But, yeah, I think it just speaks to where Italian soccer is right now. There's no attack. There's no creativity. They can produce these players that are of quality, but they're just missing the high end talent to take this team to be one of the best, like truly one of the best, like eight in the world at this point.
I would reiterate everything Mike touched on every topic.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna add very small little parts to things that annoyed me, particularly Spalletti with his call ups were bad. They were just bad.
Yeah.
He missed, like, how is Locatelli not on the team? Right? Like, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Brian Cristante, for God's sakes, oh my God, I don't understand it. I don't understand why he didn't play Bellanova. I don't understand why he didn't, the attack was lacking. I mean, there were so many things that, in the midfield, to be honest, like, Verratti would have been better than what we had. Like, I would have called up Verratti for sure. Like, they were missing technical players in the midfield. And let's not forget, we were missing Tonali. We were missing all these other guys that couldn't play. So I'm partially optimistic that we're going to get a lot of these players back. Maybe he gets wiser with his call-ups and such, and more talented players come through. Mm-hmm. Mike Kamada looks good from what I've seen, he looks like the truth.
He does.
I'm excited for him for the national team. At Serie A, you know, it's gonna.
He won't get his chance though. That's another issue.
That's one thing where I'm like happy that they got Fonseca, because Fonseca will play his guys. So, I think I was listening to another podcast and they talked about how there's something to be said about how we keep winning the U19 and the U18 tournaments, but we can't translate that talent to top level. There's a systemic problem somewhere. We're doing a terrible, because it's not if we weren't talented, we wouldn't be winning those youth tournaments like we are. So clearly at that stage, we're doing really well with developing talent. It's something from going from there to senior teams where something is off. Mm-hmm. That needs to be addressed. That needs to be fixed. Perhaps it's the bureaucracy with the FIGC. I don't know what it is, but that was the one thing that became transparent to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with both of you. And just to kind of further elaborate on Spalletti, it's like Spalletti was trying to go this whole, like, I'm a maverick, like with his responses, try to be cute, try to be all this. I'm like, dude, your job is to put the best team out there and get the team to win. Why are you worried about how certain reporters ask certain questions about you, flipping about reporters? That's he's always had that history. So I'm not going to go too far into that. But also, it's like, you mentioned the call-ups, 100% agree, got the right, wrong people. But also, like, the people he had, he didn't do well at all. Why is El Shaarawy starting a left wing? That's number one.
Hey, don't talk badly about Mike's play like that.
Number two.
Pharaoh.
Number two, Fagioli didn't play 8 months of soccer.
Oh, man. My goodness.
Meanwhile, he's starting.
Takes Locatelli's spot. Takes Locatelli's spot on the national team.
No. So he does that, and he has Cristante and he has Barella. As a midfield, that makes no sense. Because, what do you need?
I couldn't unsee Fagioli being as bad as he was. Why does he like walk around with the swagger of like prime Pirlo and then just like can't complete pass? What does he do?
Yeah,
what does
he do? If you know, if certain people are on this pod,
yeah. Listen, you know, if you know he had certain money on the game, I'd be walking around with a swagger too. No, I'm just kidding. Gambling is a serious addiction, and we take it seriously.
Get help, get on. that's what me and Mike would say.
Fagioli.
But also, it's like you have Pellegrini, you have Cristante. If anything, do Cristante, Barella, and Pellegrini. Why don't you do those three? Get on, just massacred a bug. And then also in the wings, like Zaccagni had a good game. Play Zaccagni. He just won. He's riding on a high. His confidence is high. Once they changed that, once they put him in, they actually played better. But also, like, the commentators kept saying it, especially in the Swiss game, it's like you're letting one of the more creative players they have in Zaka, which I can't believe I'm saying that as a creative player, get on the ball, take three touches, and spray a pass before someone's even close to him. Like, the whole tactics and the whole personnel were wrong. I think Spalletti, at the end of the day, will be a good manager for the job, because I think once he actually can get his tactics in place and find the right players to do it, they can play really nice football. But like that Euro, it's like we feel like we took like four steps backwards from where we were. I understand the win was maybe a fluke, but we should still be competitive again. We should more often than not beat Switzerland.
Yeah.
Like Spain's always had our number. We're not up to that level. They play a style that we just somehow can't figure out. Well,
they're the champions.
Well, I'm saying, but even like in past tournaments, they've always kicked our ass. Yeah. Like they've always
the thing about the Switzerland game that was so crazy is that it's like it just felt like they couldn't figure shit out, and then the last 20 minutes they start hurling the ball forward. It's like, first of all, like why were they just holding the ball around the back and just meaningless possession the entire time? Like, it's driving me crazy. Like shit that you would see like 10, 12 years ago in soccer that like has been like proven to not be the best way to win. Like, why are they doing that? But it goes back to just like not having the personnel, honestly. Right? So yeah. And I guess I kind
of
get it.
Yeah, and also it's like, you know, as you know, one of the things, stereotypically one of the quads of a town is that they're very hard workers. Switzerland outworked us. Like, they were just like aggressive, trying to press, trying to win every tackle. Italy was just like, oh no, yeah, you can have it. Here, take it back. Oh, Zaka, you're right there. They'll give it right to you. Let's just shove it up long. They get you to keep the ball. They get to hold on the ball. It was just like the tenacity and the desire to win for some reason wasn't there. I think, I don't know if it's come out, but I think there's also some other like locker room stuff.
Yeah, there's like there's rumors apparently that Fagioli wasn't appreciated on the team because he ratted out Tonali with the whole gambling thing.
Yeah,
that's a rumor.
But there's probably
don't know
there's probably because it seemed it wasn't just that. It seemed like there's probably other things in the locker room that were probably said or done that no one else really vibed with. But like the only bright spot, Donnarumma. He was sensational.
He was amazing.
And the thing is, like, I know that him getting the captaincy is like a hot topic. Everyone's like, why is he the captain? That proves why.
Yeah.
Big all games, right, so he comes
out. Donnarumma was good, but would you pay him $13 million a year? I don't know.
I don't think any goalie is worth that money.
I pay him that much.
He
was arguably the best shot stopper at the Euro.
Fundamentally, no goalie is worth that much.
Okay, but I think that he might be though, because it's like
I just think that he's
worth what like he's in Italy. He's worth like 10 points.
Think
about
two other keepers that can win a game like he can.
Mike Maignan, I've seen it.
But this is the thing that I was about to say is it's like if you think that Maignan helped win Milan that Scudetto,
he did.
That means that like Donnarumma, who is of that quality, I don't know. I think that like I think Milan would pay you for that season again. But like that, Maignan sucked last year, kind of like not sucked, but like just
was he was hurt. He did get hurt some point.
He wants Donnarumma money now, and like here's the thing: is he's going to go out and get it? Like
no goalie is worth it. I'm sorry.
I think that there's also other stuff baked in with Donnarumma, right? Like I think the fact that he's a Milan youth product,
yes,
that he was coming off of the Euros or like going into the Euros, I guess by that point, but like. You got to go out and do that if you're Milan.
Okay. I will say this. Let me just qualify. I said no goalie's worth that, especially at that age. If you're a legend, right, you've won trophies, you know, yes, you're getting paid for past performance a little bit. Fine. Go ahead. If we're talking about like the Maldini of goalies, go ahead. I pay him. But Milan proved my point. They won with a combination of not Tomiyasu, who was the backup goalie for Maignan?
Tadachanu? No. It's something like that.
Mike, though. Who was the backup goalie for Mike Maignan when you guys won the Scudetto? Begins with a T.
It wasn't Tatarusano.
Tatarusano and Mike Maignan. Mike Maignan on what, $5 million a year? $6 million, if even. And Tatarusano, who was probably on $50K a week, right? My point exactly. You don't have to pay $13 million at the goalie position to win a title. You just don't.
I guess you don't have to.
How old do you think Donnarumma is? How old do you think Donnarumma is?
23.
No, it's like 26, right?
He's 25.
He's 25.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah.
I still will die on the hill.
He still has his prime to hit.
Maybe now he's worth $13 million. Maybe now I would consider. Well,
that was the question.
No.
I'm not paying him
$13 million as a 20-year-old because guess what? The salary only goes up from there. That's your floor at that point. Then you got to pay him what? 16 in his prime? 20 in his prime? Hell no. Yeah. No. I think Milan made the right. I mean, they proved it. They won the Scudetto. So,
love it. Yeah, but then what did they do the year after?
They got their ass whooped the next year. They lost in every aspect of life to Inter. Yeah, set a record for the most losses.
It was like five games against you guys, right?
They went a whole calendar year without winning in six different competitions.
You know what? Did we do a pod after the Champions League semifinal? I hope not. I think we did, but I got to go back and listen to that. Remind myself how dark things can get.
Oh, that was dark. And then Inter clinched the Serie A last year in the Derby. Oof. Rough.
Yeah.
Rough. It's been a rough 2 years.
You know who's laughing the hardest about that? Hakan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, listen, it's been a rough 2 years for us Milan fans.
Well, the thing is, I think about Juve fans, it's been, what, 5 years since they've won?
I'm not complaining.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, want to wrap it up?
That's it. Boys, we're back.
We'll be back with Rocco.
We're going to be back with Rocco.
Promises about Julio.
Yeah.
Promises about Julio.
I'm not promising Julio.
If Chiesa gets
dude, we have to put an APB out.
Yeah.
If you guys need to go and listen to Juventus propaganda, just log on to Reddit. We don't need to bring it out to the podcast.
But
Julio has to give his two takes a year right before each Fiorentina game. He comes on the pod twice a year, one for each Fiorentina game.
But yeah,
has he been relegated to just guest?
Just guest Julio,
guest X,
special guest Julio,
guest J. That's gonna be his name going forward. But that's it for the pod. I'm Marco. That's Megan Galano. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed. Ciao.
I gotta run. I'll see you guys.